My dearly beloved in Christ, the Mass, the common Mass of the dedication of a church, is a beautiful Mass which contains in the formulary of the Mass, the introit, the gradual, etc., which contains references to the Old Testament. For example, we begin the introit with the words that were spoken by Jacob. He was on his way after Esau sought his life. He fled and went to his mother's people, where he married Rachel. But on the way, one night, he had a vision, and he saw a ladder coming down from heaven and the angels of God ascending and descending on this ladder. And he said, terrible is this place. This is the house of God and the gate of heaven. And he set up a little altar there. And so Holy Mother Church uses those words for the Mass of the dedication of a church. And then we have in the communion verse of today's Mass the words of our Divine Lord himself in the temple, referring to the temple as the house of God. He said, "My house shall be called the house of prayer, saith the Lord. In it everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh, to him that knocketh it shall be opened." These words remind us of when our Lord cleansed the temple and drove out the money changers, and saying how the house of God is such a holy dwelling, and therefore it must be treated as such. And then we have the epistle from the Apocalypse, the gospel of our Lord telling this man Zacchaeus, "Today I must dwell in your house," and how happy this man was that our Lord would bless him by entering into his house. So we have these various lessons and readings, as well as some verses from some of the Psalms on the dignity of the house of God. And this reminds us that our churches are the dwelling place of our Lord. Catholics have always sought, down through the centuries, to beautify the church, to make the church as fitting a dwelling place as possible for the Son of God, for the holy sacrifice of the Mass to be offered, for the Holy Eucharist to be confected and distributed in Holy Communion, and so forth. And I marvel when I think, especially in the Middle Ages, that they would build churches, the great Gothic cathedrals, that would take sometimes 100 years to build. Now imagine the faith of the artisans who started those churches, knowing that they would never see the finished product. But they did it for the honor and glory of God. They counted their labor of years. Some of them, that was their entire work life, was to work on a cathedral. And they considered it such a privilege, such an honor. On the other hand, sometimes the holy sacrifice of the Mass has had to be offered in very humble abodes. St. John Marie Vianney received his first communion in a barn. The Mass was offered in a barn because of the persecution that was going on at that time, the time of the French Revolution in France. In Ireland, for hundreds of years, the Mass was offered out in the forests and the fields and so forth. And today you can still go there and see what they call the Mass rocks, where the Mass was offered because it was forbidden. The churches were all taken over by the Protestants. And so sometimes Mass is offered in a very humble abode. But we, on our part, want to give our Lord the best we can. When you have the opportunity, you are assigned to clean the church. You should look upon that as a privilege, not as a chore. When you have the opportunity to provide flowers for the altar, what a grace, what a privilege, because we should want to adorn the house of God as much as possible. Now, going back into the Old Testament, we read about the construction of the temple. And it's a fabulous story. King David, after he had become king, was involved in many wars, subduing the various enemies that surrounded the chosen people, securing the borders. defeating the enemies and bringing peace to the Israelites. And after he'd done that and had built himself a palace, he thought to himself, well, I have a palace to live in, but the Lord of hosts dwells in a tent made of skins. They had what they called the tabernacle. And it was made with wood and the skins of animals and cloth. But there was not a fitting temple. So King David wanted to build a temple for the Ark of the Covenant and the various things that were used in the worship of God by the chosen people. And God said to David, I am pleased with your desire, but you shall not build the temple. Your son, after your life, your son will build a temple to me. And God told David he didn't want him to build the temple because his hands had been stained by the shedding of blood. David was a man of war. He killed Goliath and then went into many other battles against the enemies of the chosen people. So because he had been a man of war and had shed blood, God said, you will not build the temple, but your son will build it after you. So King David, out of his love for God, gathered together materials, much gold and silver and precious stones and wealth to buy the things needed for the temple. And he spent time designing the temple, drawing up plans. And then Solomon, after the death of King David, Solomon built the temple. And it took 7.5 years to build the temple, with hundreds and even thousands of workmen working on it. And it's very interesting how it was built, because all of the stones that were used in the build of the temple were cut, fashioned off-site. And then they were brought and fitted into place. And it says there in the Bible, there was not the sound of a hammer, the pounding of a nail, or any sound of instruments in the temple. So great was the sense of reverence that the Jewish people had for the house of God that they didn't want there to be any noise going on during construction. So things would be assembled off-site, and then they would be brought and put into place. And finally, the temple was finished after 7.5 years of labor. And for the dedication, King Solomon invited all of the Jews who were able to travel to Jerusalem, those that lived in the farthest parts of their kingdom, came, who were able to. And this large number of people were there for the dedication. And there were thousands upon thousands of victims slain, sacrificed, sheep and oxen and so forth. In fact, you read the account in the third book of Kings and you marvel at the number of animals that were sacrificed. And King Solomon prayed in the temple. And he prayed to God that whoever would go into the temple to pray, that that person's prayer would be answered. And in the course of this dedication ceremony, fire came down from heaven and consumed the victims on the altar. And then a cloud came down and settled over the temple. And Solomon heard the voice of God, saying that his prayer was pleasing to him, and that whoever prayed there would be heard. And you can imagine the people seeing all of this. They fell down on their faces, worshiping God and giving thanks. And that temple, because they had only one, we have churches in every city, but the Jewish people had only one temple. And that was their pride and joy, the temple. And it was a magnificent structure. And so, carrying on down through history, we who have the true holy sacrifice of the Mass, not just the symbols signifying the presence of God, but his true presence in the Holy Eucharist, how fitting it is that we should adorn our churches as much as possible. And so after persecution was over, the first 300 years or so of the Christian era, Constantine, the emperor, gave peace to the church, ended the persecutions, the Edict of Toleration in the year 313, and he donated his palace to the Pope, who at that time was Pope Saint Sylvester. And he had this palace on the Caelian Hill called the Lateran Palace. So he gave it to the Pope, and there was constructed, Constantine providing the funds, there was constructed the first church. The first church, at least in Rome. And it was dedicated on November 9th, I believe in the year 324. And that's why every year on this feast we celebrate the dedication of the Archbasilica, it is called, of our Savior. At the dedication ceremony, our Lord appeared to the people who were there. And there was also a baptistry named for St. John the Baptist, and that was dedicated as well. Pope St. Sylvester wrote the ceremony for the dedication of a church. And that particular church, called now St. John Lateran, is called the mother and mistress of all the churches in the city of Rome and throughout the world, because of its dignity of being the first major church dedicated. But again, whatever churches we have, it is a privilege, it is a delight to be able to work on the church, to keep the church clean, to maintain it, to make an offering for the church and what is used in the church for the honor and glory of God. And how we should love the house of God and treat it with reverence when we enter the church, always to genuflect reverently before going into our pew, to bless ourselves with holy water at the entrance, to observe silence in the church, not to be looking around, not to be talking, but to treat the house of God with reverence. Again, call to mind our Lord chasing out the money changers from the temple, saying, "My Father's house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Let us always treat the house of God as a place of prayer, to put everything else out of our minds, get rid of unnecessary thoughts when we go into the church, because now is the time to worship God, and now is the time to pray. If in the Old Testament they had such a zeal for the temple, for the house of God, how much more ought we not to have a reverence, a love for, to cherish the buildings that we use for the holy sacrifice of the Mass? And I'll conclude with a verse that is used in the introit of today's Mass, taken from Psalm 83. "How lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth and fainteth for the courts of the Lord." We should yearn to go into our Lord's house, to be there and to worship him, and to always treat his house with the reverence it deserves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.